Good evening. It looks like everyone heard about this. There's nobody here. Of course, the one nice thing was when it was announced, I didn't hear footsteps behind me leaving. Forrest texted us fairly late tonight and said that Terry wasn't doing well, so he wasn't going to be able to make it. I put this together real quickly. It's just a very simple lesson, but amazingly enough, it's amazing how it matches. The song we just sang, Love Lifted Me, talking about the seas, how they obey His will. My opening statements tonight is the universe and all things therein function according to design. So I would think that goes pretty close together. And it's not by chance that all these things function together. We know that the shortest day of the year is going to happen. We know that the longest day of the year is going to happen. We know when a solar eclipse is going to take place. We know when a lunar eclipse is going to take place. These things don't just happen by chance. They happen because they've been designed and they've been put in motion, and they stay in motion according to design. And we know that we're going to get rain, just like tonight. We're hoping we don't get the ice that comes with the rain, but we know all these things will happen year after year, and they'll continue on because that's the way they're designed. Now, man has tried to explain some of this by natural means. And they've tried to explain it with the theory of evolution. They try to show where the origins of man come from, but it always hits one small snag. Where did the first part come from? So you have to have something for that. And then you have the Big Bang Theory. I like the TV show, but the theory itself doesn't work well because you still have to have something that goes boom. And they can't figure out where that part comes from. But to us as Christians, we understand where the origins of the world come from. If you would, turn with me over to Psalms 104. I would like to read some from that, because I think this is the very origins of the earth itself. In explanation, a little bit more in depth than you would read in Genesis, where it says, in the beginning God created. But in this, it starts in verse 5, and it says, you placed the world on its foundation so that it would never be moved. You clothed the earth with floods of water, and water covered even the mountains at your command. The water fled. At the sound of your thunder, it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas so they would never again cover the earth. You make springs pour water into the ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home. And you fill the earth with the fruit of your labor. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for the people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that He planted. There are birds. There the birds make their nest, and the storks make their home in the cypresses. High in the mountains live the wild goats, and the rocks from the refuge. You made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun to know when to set. You send the darkness, and it becomes night, when all forest animals prowl about. Then the young lions roar for prey, stalking for food provided by God. At dawn, they slink back into their dens, to rest. Then people go off to their work where they labor until evening. Everything's by design. God set it in motion. God holds it in motion. It is by God's power that all of this has come about and continues. So that's what I want us to look at tonight for a little while, is God's power. But I want to use it in the form of God's power to save. And I thought tonight it might be a little bit thin with the thought of ice coming and everything. So I didn't really design it for a plan of salvation. You can take it for that. But more along the lines to answer a question. And the question is one that gets thrown back in our face all the time. When they say you, well, I'll give you an old statement I've heard over the years. The statement's called water dogs. I'm sure most of us have heard that, especially the older ones of us. And that's because they say you have to use water to be saved. And they say, what is the power in the water? And we try to explain it. So I want to give us three things to look at, to give them to think about. Not to try to throw it back at them or to defend or knock down the words that they use against us. But I want them to understand where the power is at. In Genesis 6, in verses 1 through 22, in essence, we know this to be Noah. And Noah lived in a time when the world was quite evil, much more so than I would believe it to be today. I think his world was much more evil then that he was surrounded with. And the Lord looked down and said, I'm going to destroy the entire earth. And of course, we know that in that, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And that favor led him and his family towards God's salvation at that point in time. Noah was instructed to build an ark. In our terms today, that would just be a huge ship. And this one was very huge. Now, think about that. It had not rained on the earth since creation began. If you go back and read in the verses, everything was still watered by a mist from the ground. So there wasn't any rain. So God instructed Noah to make an ark because he's going to make it rain. What's rain? That would be my first question if I was Noah. What's rain? He didn't explain it. He just said it's going to happen. And he said, I want you to build this great ship. Well, if you think, Noah's inland. And there's no record of any ships being built yet. So the second question would be, what's a ship? It's going to rain. What's rain? You want me to build this ship. So you can imagine for 100 years, he's building. And I can just imagine how hard he got laughed at. Okay? Noah and his project. And they'd be going by Noah and his project. Okay? I'm sure he thought he was crazy. And then he was preaching what they'd never heard. Repent of what you're doing and come back to God. Real simple sermon. And he preached this all the time to them, but they wouldn't listen. I would have hated to have been Noah at that time. I don't know how long I could have stood up to it, but he stood up to it for decades. And I don't know what it was like going through. I don't know what doubts he had in his mind, but I do know that he continued on through faith. We learn that in Hebrews 7, that his faith did not waver. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it tells us that by faith, he saved him and his family. So where was the power? The power, as man would have thought, would have been in his shipbuilding, right? He built this magnificent ship. Everybody got in, he was saved. So it was the ship that saved him. But if you read about that ship, God closed it and God caused it to stay up. Had he wanted to, that ark would have sank. Even if others would have built ships saying, okay, maybe Noah's on to something here. And they'd built their own. I'm quite assured they wouldn't have floated. They would have defied the laws that God had in place. And the waters would have opened up and they would have sank. So see, what we need to understand from this is it wasn't Noah's ability to build a ship, but it was Noah's ability to obey. And because of that, it unleashed God's power to save him. Without his obedience, his ark wouldn't have floated and his family wouldn't have been saved. Because God's power to do so would not have been allowed to open up to do that very thing. And that's the same way with us. But let's look at another one. Exodus, the 13th chapter. Running through chapters 13 and 14. This is at the point of time when the children of Israel are going to be let go from their captivity. All the plagues have taken place, including the last one of the death of the firstborn. So in Exodus chapters 13 through 14, it talks about them leaving. And they didn't go by the open wilderness, because God was afraid at that time that if they did, they would lose heart, because they would see Pharaoh's men coming and they would have room to run and they'd run back to Egypt. So he told Moses to take them down towards the sea. Why? Because once they saw Pharaoh's people, they had nowhere to run. They were stuck. And of course, Pharaoh's men would have looked down there and went, ha ha, we got them. They have nowhere to run. So, they were protected by God's power during the day and during the night. They had that column of fire in between them. Pharaoh's men couldn't penetrate it, couldn't come through it. And they couldn't penetrate the darkness at night to come through to get them either. So God caused the waters to separate. And have any of you ever seen that on Cecil B. DeMille's? That's awesome. Could you imagine what it'd be like to stand there and watch those waters separate and open up? And then the ground is dry, bone dry. That is two miracles happening right before your eyes. And now the people are going to walk down through that, and this was going to take a while. If you figure how many millions of people there was over time that had grown in Egypt, and now we're going to walk through the center of this massive sea. But the sea opened up when Moses raised his staff. And that staff caused everything to open up. So they started walking through. And as they walked through, I'm sure they looked side to side, wondering how long this was going to stay. And we know through the scriptures that God's power is what kept it apart. And we also learn this was a similitude of baptism. Because as they passed through, they were covered on both sides by water and covered by the cloud over the top. And they were all baptized unto Moses on that day. He was their leader. He was the one bringing them out. But do you think when the Israelites started coming through and the water started collapsing, if they thought, if I could just get a hold of that staff? Because he brought it down. And the water started collapsing back in on the soldiers. You think they would have thought, that staff, I need that staff. I get the staff, the waters stop. But see, once again, the power wasn't in the staff. It was just a piece of wood. And nothing could have made that work except one thing. Moses was obedient to God. And because of his obedience, it allowed God to use his power to save the children of Israel. By faith, they walked through the sea in Hebrews 11 and verse 29. By faith, the waters opened up. Why? Because Moses believed, Moses obeyed God, and God's power to save was unleashed and able to do that very thing. We have another one, a third example, and that's in 2 Kings, the fifth chapter. In 2 Kings, you'll remember a man, a soldier, of great reputation by the name of Naaman. And he got leprosy. And we remember in the story that they had heard about a prophet that could handle the leprosy. And so he sent messengers to the prophet. And of course, the prophet didn't come back. The prophet sent a message back and said, tell him to go dip in the Jordan seven times. Of course, he was upset. Didn't want to do it. And then he had a servant who was very wise. And he comes to him and talks to his master and said, had he told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. Had he beat drums and made a big parade and all this, you would have went out and been healed by the prophet. And you'd been happy to do it. But he tells you to go down to the Jordan and dip seven times, and you don't want to do it. You say, surely there's a better river, a cleaner river. There's got to be somewhere else to do this besides the dirty Jordan. But see, nothing happens for him. His leprosy never leaves, and it wouldn't have left had he went to that Jordan River and dipped seven times and come out, had he not had one thing, and that was faith. And obedience. But because he believed and because he obeyed, once again, God's power was unleashed to save him. It took his leprosy away. Was the power in the water? No. You could have took other lepers down there and dipped seven times and nothing would have happened because they didn't have the promise. The promise was to Naaman. The promise was to Noah. Could others be saved by it? Yeah, if they did the same thing they did. Believed in the Almighty God and obeyed him to allow God to open up and unleash his saving power. The final example I have on this is in Acts, the 8th chapter. And that'll be in verses 29 through 39. And that's Philip and the eunuch. That's a story real common to everybody. Philip was told to go down there and he went. And he met this eunuch coming back from, which would have been temple meetings at the time. He'd come here to worship in Jerusalem. And God told him to go and join to his chariot, so he did. The eunuch was reading, and he asked him if he understood what he was reading, and he said, well, not really. He said, but if someone can help me understand, so he did. He started there and preached to him Jesus from the Old Testament and showed him what he needed to do, and I know that he understood good enough because when they came to water, he said, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? So he understood something. He understood he needed water. And he understood he needed a lot of the water. So they went down, the eunuch and Philip, into the water, and he baptized him. And then he came out, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he had been forgiven of his sins. And just like the other examples, was the power in the water? There was no power in the water. The water means nothing by itself. But through faith and obedience, going into the water allows, again, God to unleash his power of salvation to save. If it was just water that saved us, then everybody that hits a swimming pool this summer's got it made, because they're all going to go under. So no, the answer to the question is the water has no power to save. The power is in God, and the water is nothing but an instrument that God said to use. God told Noah to use an instrument of an ark to save. God told Moses to use a staff to save. And God told Philip to use water to save. And because of obedience and faith, that's exactly what the water did. So if someone asked me the question, is it the water that saved? I'll say no. The water was just an instrument that allowed the saving power of God to work. And without it, it can't work, because he's put in motion a design. A design that works assuredly as everything he does in the earth. It saves every time it's used right. Every time the sun comes up, it shines. Every time. And every time obedience is put in motion with the instrument that he told to use with it, the water, salvation happens. Every time. That's why in Acts 22:16, Paul was told, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Because the instrument he needed was the water. The releasing was his faith, and the power came from God. It's a simple lesson, but I think it's one that if people think about it honestly, they'll understand about that when they say, "What do you think? It's the water that saves?" No, but it's how you get to salvation. It's just like the night when Israel was leaving, the night before, and they had the last plague of the death of the firstborn. Was it the blood that saved over the mantle? No. But the blood over the mantle released the power to save, because those that were covered by it were also covered by the power of God not to die that night. And that's the same power that saves us from eternal death. And that's what we have by obeying God's plan of salvation and doing such a simple thing as going down in water to be buried and then to come out and be freed from your sins. And that's a fantastic thing. It's simple, but yet it works every time. If there's anyone here tonight that wishes to do that very thing, then you don't need to wait. There's no reason to wait. Or if you've done it and you need God's prayers, or you want God's prayers, or you want the prayers of us to help, we have that also. If for any reason you're subject tonight, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?